You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is 8:05 Central Time. That means it is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone today, the Reverend Will Hanke from Mount Calvary Lutheran Church in Brentwood, Missouri. Good morning, Pastor Hanke.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for being our guest pastor this morning and helping us study in John chapter 16. Tell us about your congregation, Mount Calvary Lutheran Church in Brentwood, Missouri.
Yeah, I've been with Mount Calvary for 3 years now, this June, and been an exciting 3 years as we continue to get new excitement of how to reach out to the people of Brentwood, and lots of different ideas of what to do. And I've been working on some strategic plans with how to reach our local community and reach the people of Brentwood and the surrounding areas. And you know, we have services at 9 and 10:30 and a Bible study at 8 a.m. But a really great congregation who welcomes people in, a unique congregation in the fact that we have young families that move into the area, but also a lot of people that have been at Mount Calvary for a long time. So we're kind of young, and we have some people who've been long, long time members. So kind of a unique dynamic of our congregation. So, but yeah.
Well, very good. Thanks be to God for the good work that is happening there, the proclamation of the gospel that the good news is reaching the people of Brentwood, Missouri. For those not familiar, Brentwood is part of the St. Louis community here. But you're not in St. Louis at the moment, serving the Lord at the LCMS Missouri District Convention. And so thanks for taking some time out of the convention. I won't tell anybody that you're missing out on the convention right now. Nobody knows. Well, thanks for taking some time to study with us this morning, and we'll have to get you in the studio sometime in the future here and spend some time studying God's Word here in the studio. We're in John chapter 16 today, verses 1 through 16. Pastor, what would you like for us to know about John chapter 16 before we dig in?
You know, I always love, I spent 5 years working with youth, and I love talking about the disciples and thinking about them being young men and who they were, and a lot of their mindset is Jesus changed that for them and helping them at it. So imagining and seeing what they went through for the 3 years of God forming them and helping them, and part of that God forming them was them learning that they needed his help. You know, they really needed him, and that was learning enough, and then Jesus kind of lays it on them that they're going to need the Holy Spirit now, you know, to be with them, and what does that mean as it changes from Jesus to God as the Holy Spirit in their lives. And so I think, you know, that really this is where this text comes in, is Jesus beginning to prep them for the next phases of what life will look like as he goes after his work is done through his death and resurrection, and then sends the Holy Spirit in for them to go share that with the world. So that's really the context today, but yet we struggle into that mindset of how do we receive that help. Sometimes help is hard to receive, and the disciples wrestling with that throughout all the time that they learned from Jesus, and then their transition as Pentecost came and the Holy Spirit was upon them. So.
Very good. We are in John chapter 16 today. We're studying with Pastor Will Hanke from Mount Calvary Lutheran Church in Brentwood, Missouri. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0851, 800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. Let's take a look, Pastor, shall we? John chapter 16, beginning of the first verse. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God, and they will do these things because they have not known the Father. But I have said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. All right. So I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They're going to put you out of the synagogues. All right. What are your thoughts here? I've said all these things to keep you from falling away. Why has Jesus, as he speaks to them, said, I've said these things to keep you from falling away. They're going to try to put you out of the synagogues, and the time is coming. The hour is coming. Whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God, but that's not necessarily the case. Your thoughts here, Pastor?
Yeah, I think the challenge that they face in understanding and realizing that the world is there and all the things that it means to be faced with those that are truly wrestling with sin and wrestling with the world. And so really Jesus preparing them for what that means and what it means that they look differently. So, you know. So.
And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. They do these things because they don't know. They don't know the Father. They don't know me. They are apart from me. But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. Your thoughts here, Pastor?
You know, absolutely, you know, that they remember exactly where their hope comes from and what they're founded in, and those that have lost track and fallen into their ways of holding on to the understanding or grasping on to the way to help themselves or think they can do it on their own. And Jesus really bringing them back into understanding what does it mean to return to who actually can restore us and help us. And so the loss that happens in this world and the confusion. So,
looking over these first few verses, anything else, verses 1 through 4, before we get into the work of the Holy Spirit in the next passage?
I think he's just prepping them in that. You know, we so often, as I will say through these next few different things, that we struggle with that very need of not being able to help ourselves. And so often, sometimes we can get into that place of thinking we can do it on our own. And here where the work of the Holy Spirit takes over is finally coming to that place that we know often of confession and receiving that absolution and knowing what that does to change and transform our lives and change our thinking. Even if we are in places where those that we think are working with us and then find, you know, we struggle with those sins. So,
going back to the first verse, I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. What is it that Jesus has said to keep them from falling away? What is it that Jesus has said to them? And does he say anything to us today to keep us from falling away?
Certainly he says so much for us to trust in him and trust in his word and his name and to continually come back to that. So that we don't fall away into our own thinking of how we hold on to this ideas of this world or lifting ourselves up, but coming back to trusting in his very hand and work, the promises, the prophecies that made how they've been fulfilled and how they were manifest in their lives.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. The second part of verse 4, the work of the Holy Spirit. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. We're studying the Daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Will Henke from Mount Calvary Lutheran Church in Brentwood, Missouri. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? Jesus says, I did not say these things to you because, well, from the beginning, because I was with you, but now I'm going to him who sent me. Pastor?
Yeah, I really think this is the text that really, this is the part of the text that really stood out to me, just understanding that piece of, you know, what is the advantage of having the Holy Spirit? What is the advantage of God continuing to move into this place where he sends us out in that? And the disciples really understanding that they left a lot of things that they once had, that they were once doing and taking care of themselves or being able to take care of their families, and understanding their trust in who Jesus was and what he was doing, and he was the fulfillment of all that. And then coming into the place where after they had received that, then this new place of what does it mean when he goes away? You know, what's the advantage of him going away, and how hard that is for us to embrace? Because after we've already once accepted help, realize we're sinners, realize we're struggling, how do we embrace that would be actually be an advantage. And then realizing the work of God continues to move forward as he passes the Holy Spirit on, they receive that, and then they're able to go out into the world and share that. And what that means is they watch that and receive that help again in a new way. And continue to be humbled by God's grace and receive in that. And that's really where I think so powerful that takes such a hard piece for us to understand what's the advantage. But every change in that moment of life brings us into that place. And certainly for the disciples as young men who have already embraced that and then move forward knowing the Holy Spirit is the next step. And what does that mean? And that's really where Jesus is prepping them.
But now I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. They're sorrowful now because he has said these things.
Absolutely. I think, you know, it's hard anytime those change. I mean, they've embraced what Jesus means. They've got to walk with him for 3 years. They've got to see the blessings that it means to walk with him. And, you know, that human nature is that sense of loss of what does this mean to have this change? You know, what is this going to look like? And then Jesus continually showing them, like he has throughout all of Scripture, time and time again, don't worry, you know, I will continue to provide like I have. And here in that understanding, that embracing, that means a new part of the story of the Holy Spirit and what that is in their lives. And that's really where this is helping them as these young guys to think, hey, what does this mean? You know.
So. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go away, I will send him to you. So it's important. I tell you the truth. Of course, Jesus tells us the truth. We know that throughout Scripture. They may not realize it at that point in time. But is this emphatic here when Jesus says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth?
Yeah, I think, you know, continually, time and time again, it's that reminder. I think that, you know, part of that emphasis is that understanding that he's helping them begin to go, remember, I'm telling you the truth. You've seen the truth over and over again. And sometimes that wake up from, you know, that when we're in that moment of sorrow, it causes us that moment to say, to wake up and realize, hey, what, you know, what is he? I know he's done this. To kind of be reminded, like so many passages in the Old Testament, oh, this is what happened with my fathers and forefathers and all that. So
it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, then the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. I have to go for the Helper to be sent to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, I think that's something where it becomes a part of the text where we wrestle with it and mm-hmm. we really say, yeah, what does this mean? You know, because wouldn't it be better that we would have Jesus with us than that? But understanding the very work of God and his unique nature of how it comes and God in the person of Jesus fulfilling the very plan, and then God in the person of the Holy Spirit being sent to us uniquely to be sending that out into the world, and understanding that sometimes God's glory and all of its greatness, specifically with the work of Jesus, is so hard for us to understand as we saw through many of his miracles. And then the work of him sending that out through the people to be spread throughout the world, of them grasping and seeing through the work of the Holy Spirit in each of the lives of these disciples and then the lives of us, how that impacts and helps us to share that.
If I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. All right. So when he comes, mm-hmm. he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Let's talk about sin first. Sin because they do not believe in me. How will the Holy Spirit, the Helper, I assume we're talking about the Holy Spirit here.
We are.
How will the Helper convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment?
we really see the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives as we know the rights and the wrongs in life, as we see that and face that, and really when that comes to fruition and we're faced with those places where we see sin and its livelihood and all of the things that happens as we continue to sin and what are the consequences of that and how that is, and when faced with that, the way that it leads our lives astray, and really the Holy Spirit helping people to decipher and see that, you know, or we describe that in law and gospel. When we see that, we see the law and how we don't live up, we face that challenge. And so the Holy Spirit comes in that way, or the helper comes to really guide us and direct us into that. That brings us into understanding what do we need and what's the hope that we need.
And so concerning sin, because they do not believe, concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer, concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, righteousness and judgment are places where we fall all too often and continue to want to be in, or it seems like in times thinking, oh, look at me and here's what I've done, and specifically in this text of, you know, I can handle this on my own, even potentially the context we talked about of where the disciples might have been before they saw and met with Jesus, you know, their understanding that, you know, we can do this on our own, or I can take care of my family, or I can do these things, and then understanding the very help they needed. And so, you know, then moving into that understanding of what does it mean to receive that help, that blessing from Jesus coming in their lives, and then judgment, who we become as people, looking and judging others and all that. And as the helper comes into our lives and as we respond, we see how the Holy Spirit helps form and shape us in understanding the very blessings of what God intended for his people to be, and how he restores that through his grace and forgiveness and moves us away from that judgment.
Righteousness, concerning righteousness. Do we even, we need to take a break, but something to think about, and we'll talk about when we come back. Do we even know, really, what do we even use that word righteousness today in our everyday language? Do we even know what righteousness is today in this world? If we use that word in everyday conversation, is that confusing to the people we're talking with? We're discussing John chapter 16 today, verses 1 through 16, with Pastor Will Henke from Mount Calvary Lutheran Church in Brentwood, Missouri. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727, email address kfuo@kfuo.org. We need to take a quick break. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.
Worldwide KFUO is the most trusted place for sacred music of the church every night. Weeknights after evening prayer, you can hear sacred music on KFUO in St. Louis, streaming online at kfuo.org. Our online stream is in high-quality stereo, so you can hear the difference wherever you listen, on your computer or Wi-Fi radio, and on your smartphone. We're Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news for 90 years.
Hi, this is Rich Robertson, President and CEO of the Lutheran Church Extension Fund. We are excited to walk alongside Lutheran Church Missouri Synod members and ministries as they witness and perform works of mercy and compassion around the world. Investments with LCEF provide the exceptional financial resources used daily to build faith communities and serve God's people. Our loans and ministry support services are available to LCMS congregations, schools, and organizations, as well as rostered church workers. Visit LCEF today.
You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO. I'm Andy Bates. We're studying the Daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Will Henke from Mount Calvary Lutheran Church in Brentwood, Missouri. We're in John chapter 16, verses 1 through 16. Pastor, before we went to break, we were talking about verses 8, 9, 10, and 11. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. And verse 10 specifically, concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. I was just thinking about that, the term righteousness. What is righteousness? What is the righteousness of which Jesus is speaking here? And can we even grasp that righteousness today with our minds in the midst of this crazy, chaotic, and sin-filled world?
Yeah, and I think, wow, Andy, we've really lost that. We don't understanding what righteousness means and what does it mean that what God intended for us to be and who is that as his people. Losing that in our own self and very much of what we're talking about in this text, our own desire to think we can do it on our own and really understanding what does it mean to be truly a righteous people. That's lost in our own selfish flesh, the way the battle that we have with that every day. And so to understand people talking about that today and using that term would be hard for them to even grasp or understand or know how to use it. You know, what does this mean to strive back or to understand what Jesus restores in that righteousness and the promise of the eternal life? It's certainly a lost term and certainly something we would find that would be hard-pressed for us to get in to help people fully understand or able to explain at times. So.
Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Who is this? Who is the ruler of this world who is judged?
Yeah, the ruler of this world, Jesus, again, pointing them to the victory that he's going to win over the devil and the attack of what he tries to do in our daily lives as we get pulled astray in different ways. And so really that judgment that finally we know and can be confirmed the hope that we have that Jesus has won that victory over him and what that judgment causes. But certainly in our daily life, we find the way that's pulled astray of the judgment that we have in our human nature and how that's caused as we think through things or potentially think about people and then reminded what was that fulfillment of winning over that so that that ruler of this world is judged, that the devil is judged and no longer knows that because the victory is won does not have power. And us understanding that through continual grace and coming back to Jesus, it's an amazing part of knowing that and watching that transformation happen through really what the Helper does, what the Holy Spirit does in our lives.
But. All right. Anything else up through verse 11 before we go on to verse 12?
No, I think that's it.
All right. Verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So I still have many things to say to you. There are things that I didn't say to you before that now I'm saying to you, and I still have many things to say to you, but now you cannot bear them. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. All right. So Jesus still has many things to say.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think that is that hard part of the continual walk and that term that we use so often as we talk about our Christian walk of what does sanctification mean. It means a daily walk with Jesus and a daily walk as we watch the Holy Spirit work in our lives. And for people like the disciples who were walking in such a transformation that happened with Jesus already and then moving into, okay, what does this mean now? And Jesus just again prepping them for, hey, what's this going to be like? You know, Andy, I always look back at some of the places of scripture where, you know, at first we can say, oh, silly disciples, how come you didn't understand this? You know, the temple being torn down in 3 days and brought back again, and, you know, and Jesus and what he did. But, you know, scripture makes it clear time and time again, they see when it's fulfilled. And here's just another place where it's a new understanding of when Jesus goes to heaven and he goes and we wait upon the day that he comes back. The work of the Holy Spirit in that and just as those times happen throughout our lives, there's so many things where the Holy Spirit works and says, oh, now I understand what it means your work's happening in our lives, or what does it mean to share the gospel in this unique way to other people and help them understand as they wrestle with understanding righteousness and judgment and sin and all those places. And he's really just prepping the disciples for that as they walk through and understanding they can come back to him and receive that help and understanding from him.
When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he speaks, whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The work of the Holy Spirit. What is the epitome of the work of the Holy Spirit? Is this it here in verses 13 and 14, 15?
Yeah, absolutely. We see, and as I think and have you, hear you read these verses again, I'm again reminded of, this word we use so often, Trinity, and understanding God in three persons, his unique way that we watch each of them work as God the Father, the Creator, and then God the Son, the Redeemer, and then God the Holy Spirit, the Sanctifier, the one that walks with us on that daily journey, and really seeing that walk that's happening, and knowing that that is coming from our God. It's coming from the one who understands us, who has created us, and who loved us so much to redeem us, and then sets us out to walk on that daily journey and be sanctified over and over and over again is where our lives are reformed and changed. And he's helping the disciples to understand that. But for you and I today, Andy, we see that he's helping us to understand that. What does that mean for us and in our journey day to day? And that's really where we see that work of the Holy Spirit, because time and time again, we're faced with the challenges of life and the struggles that we face in sin and righteousness and understanding all those places and coming to saying, okay, God, how do you restore us in that? And this is the work of the Holy Spirit. This is what he does. He brings us back to the grace of God. We receive his absolution, mm-hmm. and we're transformed people.
Thanks be to God. Anything else up through through 13, 14, 15 before we go on to the last verse for today?
No, I think we're ready.
All right. Verse 16, a little while and you will see me no longer. And again, a little while and you will see me. This is Jesus playing hide and seek? A little while and you will see me no longer, and again a little while and you will see me.
I think again, we see over and over Jesus preps them. He speaks to them of understanding his death and resurrection, things that Jesus mentioned before we don't understand, or the disciples didn't understand in that time specifically, and then bringing the understanding that, hey, that time period when he's gone and then comes back and then sees them, and then all of a sudden he's gone, and we wait upon the day when he comes to restore and fulfill the very victory won, and get grasping and prepping the disciples for that. And again, that daily wisdom that we're talking about with the help of the Holy Spirit happens through that daily journey, where all of a sudden, piece after piece, they begin to see who and what God does, time and time again, of understanding that, just like I mentioned from John 2, or pieces of that where the disciples say, oh, now I begin to grasp what is happening through that walk with God. And so this hide and seek thing isn't so much a hide and seek, but a walk and understanding of waiting upon the day for him to come back and restore us fully in what that he's fulfilled through the victory.
Looking over the text as a whole today, Pastor, anything else you'd like for us to learn? What can we learn from this text as a whole as we look at it all in context? I know we've gone through verse by verse and looked at it. What can we walk away from this John 16 today?
Andy, as I spend time in this text, and really I like to continue to seek the work of the Holy Spirit in my life as I continually read God's word, is what stands out? What are the places where I go, okay, what does this mean? And over this text came back to, what's this advantage for Jesus to go away and us to receive the helper, us to receive the work of the Holy Spirit? And coming back to it time and time again is that very fact of that human nature of wanting to do it on our own and seeing what we fall into time and time again. Share a story, and I preached on this recently with my daughter, thinking and wanting to be able to do all the things on her own and whatever step it is, and even times at restaurants where she's frustrated they don't have stools here and thinking, I need to be able to do all this on my own. And understand that's our very sinful nature that expects that, wants that, and then we time and time again see the sins we fall into, the struggles we have, and where we desperately need Jesus. We desperately need the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives to reform us, shape us, and to become his people. And that becomes that restoration. And until he does finally come again, that's a process that we'll be in and day out. And that's really where this text hits home. And when you think and put us in the place where I started us, these young men and their lives transform through walking with Jesus, and then a new transformation as Jesus preps them for what does it mean when he leaves. That had to be so hard, where they had already embraced and accepted they needed Jesus' help. They needed his change. And now another piece, Jesus, what is that going to look like? But soon the disciples will learn that is walk day in and day out. And like my daughter, who will learn that through the rest of her life, that is what happens to us as God's people. The time and time again where we go, Jesus, you are what's restored me to be, what you intended me to be from the very beginning of creation, and what you wanted God's people to be. And we fall away, and we continue to fall away. But thanks be to God of the Helper. Thanks be to God of your victory, that is not the end story. That's the change that happens for us day in and day out. And we receive that forgiveness, love, and sanctification that we walk through day in and day out.
Very good. Well, thank you, Pastor Henke, for helping us study this text in John chapter 16 today. Before we go, any news to report from the LCMS Missouri District Convention?
Well, I don't know if I'm revealing too much, but no, we elected, I think it's already out there, that we have a new president, and Lee Hagen, Dr. Reverend Lee Hagen, will be our president. So we're excited for that. I'm excited for what's next. We had a great celebration with Dr. Reverend Ray Murley, all his years of work. I know as one who came into my first call through those different times with him and getting to walk with him and through that, it's great to see the work of those men and what they do, and the blessing of our Synod as we continue to express this great truth we talked about today, and so of the law and gospel. So, yeah, just a lot of exciting things for us as we continue to look at the future of what we have to bring as we share God's word and gospel with this world.
Very good. Very good. Well, thank you. And thanks for your leadership in helping us study John chapter 16 today. And Godspeed, safe travels on your way back home. And God bless you and all the saints at Mount Calvary Lutheran Church in Brentwood, Missouri.
Thanks, Andy.
Thanks, Pastor Henke. Coming up in just a little bit, we have some sacred music to help start your morning. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.